Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The College Sports Talk continues. Mark Childress in for Mark Sturgis. Diesel here with me as well. And we are pleased to welcome Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel, national college football writer. Matt's been at the ACC meetings for the last couple of days. Matt, so much thanks so much for joining us, bud. We really appreciate you being here. Hey, so Matt, you had a chance to sit down with John Swofford, ACC commissioner. I think you had him join your podcast. So what were some of the high points and nuggets you got out of Mr. Swofford?
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest issues that they were talking about all week long is kind of something that all of college athletics is dealing with, and it's the Rice, you know, the Rice Commission report, you know, which basically, you know, recommended that there should be some overhaul changes to college basketball. And I think that's something that, you know, the ACC is, you know, looking at and considering. You know, the NCAA wants to make those kind of, at least implement some of those kind of changes by August. So there's only 3 months, you know, available to do that. And as Swofford said that, you know, the you know, officials and the coaches and everything are kind of scrambling to see how that can be done. We also talked about transfers. You know, there's a lot going on with, you know, the idea of you know, overhauling the transfer rules as well. You know, maybe not making it so that when someone transfers, you know, they're immediately eligible, but, you know, maybe putting some sort of caveat on that as well. And, you know, just a little bit of this and that. There's always some news. One of the things he broke that we weren't expecting was, you know, the ACC's putting out a proposal to expand the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, they want to expand the field to actually to 72 teams. They want to add four more teams. So it is something kind of breaking news with John Swofford, even though it didn't seem like it was that big a deal. But so lots going on at ACC spring meetings.
Yeah, as always, Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel with us. Yeah, so I see why it benefits the ACC to go from 68 to 72 teams, because odds are, since they may be the best basketball conference in the country, that might get one more, maybe even two more of those of their conference's teams in the tournament every year. So for them, it makes a lot of sense. But the initial reaction from fans, especially on Twitter, seems to be no, no, no. Please, no more teams.
Yeah, you know, when I asked John about that, you know, that was one of the things he said was the idea that the coaches put out this proposal, the basketball coaches, and one of the reasons was, you know, they thought, again, this gives you more opportunities to get more teams in. The idea that they're proposing is kind of like another, you know, first four, you know, with these games, that way then you don't have UCLA or Colorado, let's say, play, you know, the opening, you know, first couple games, you know, to get in the NCAA tournament. So that's kind of the proposal they're throwing out there. I'm not sure how much traction they'll get. Again, this is their proposal. No one else really has put this forth. So it'll be interesting to see if it gains any traction from any of the conferences. But it's something I definitely don't think we'll see, at least in the next tournament. It may have to be a year or so down the road.
Please don't let them call it the second first four. That just seems like the worst marketing of all time. So I'm sure somebody smart will get in there and figure out how to fix that. So, hey, we're talking to Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. Matt, one thing you haven't mentioned so far that I know had to be a big topic of discussion down there was the ruling that broke on sports gambling this week. Was anybody willing to kind of go on record with anything other than just the status quo initial remarks?
You know, I spoke to a couple of ADs, and, you know, basically the thought is, you know, this broke kind of really kind of suddenly, you know, during Monday's meetings, actually. And you know, there really wasn't any vote on it. They obviously, there's some concern. Blake James, the AD at Miami, told me, you know, one of the things they want to do is they want to, I think any school wants to ramp up their education on gambling. You know, they want to make sure that the student athletes understand that this isn't something that they're, that they want to see happen. They don't. The integrity of the game is very important to them, so they don't want to see anything to kind of ruin that. So I think education is definitely a big thing. John said that, you know, they would like to make sure that, you know, that it's regulated. You know, they have 10 states that are involved with all their schools. So, you know, if it were to change from state to state to state, they think that would be too confusing and it'd cause all sorts of issues. So they want to see some sort of federal regulation when it comes to this kind of gambling. So it is an issue, but not to the point yet where anyone has any kind of thoughts or ideas of what we could be seeing. There was definitely nothing about, you know, sports betting windows at stadiums or anything like that. I think right now it's too early in the process.
Awesome. Catching up with Matt Mershell, the national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. You can find him on Twitter at OS Matt Mershell. So, Matt, early in the week, you wrote a great article about the college football playoff and the impact that Central Florida's arm waving and championship claiming over the last couple of months has had on the committee. You even sat down with Bill Hancock, the executive director of the playoff. And I guess to cut to the chase on the article is, didn't really seem to make any difference at all to them. They're pretty happy with the product they've got right now.
Yeah, and they really are. You know, I know, obviously, being here in Orlando, you know, the UCF fan base was upset. They felt like maybe their situation would cause, you know, some changes to occur, you know, with the playoffs. But when I sat down with Bill Hancock, he said, you know, listen, you know, we met, you know, with the management group, which is composed of the conference commissioners and, you know, the Notre Dame athletic director, and there is no movement, as far as he can see, to, you know, expand the playoff at this point. And they felt like, I asked him directly, did you guys talk about UCF and what happened? And he said, no, not really. It never really came up. So I think right now, as much as UCF fans were hoping that maybe would cause the dialogue to kind of be expanded, it really hasn't to this point. Again, you know, you get enough fan base, you know, upset, enough people kind of going out there. I think maybe eventually something could happen, but I still don't believe that they're going to expand at least for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years. I just don't think there's that big of a push for it just yet. And right now, you know, it's kind of status quo. It's actually kind of a quiet offseason is what Bill Hancock said about the playoffs.
Awesome. Hey, wrapping up with Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. So, Matt, we had Bill Bender from the Sporting News on earlier, and he was talking about playoff predictions for 2018, and he sees a path for UCF to potentially backdoor into that playoff if they had an undefeated season again this year, and that's a possibility. They've got another great team returning and a schedule that might help them get there. Any thoughts on them since they're in your backyard on what they're thinking about going into this season? And did all of their theatrics after last season, does that help them maybe if they go undefeated again coming into this year?
You know what? I think definitely you look at their schedule. They have some opportunities to probably go undefeated again. They do have some tough games. And let's not forget all of the national championship, you know, buzz they've created. That puts a gigantic target on their back. So every team that's going to play them now wants to say, okay, you made a big stink about this, that you're the, you know, national champions. We're going to beat you now, you know. And they're going to have some challenges. You know, SAU and Lane Kiffin come to town on a Friday night. You know, you're looking at a Pittsburgh game as well. You've got North Carolina on the schedule too. So I think early on, if they can survive that, they have some opportunities to do, you know, to have a big push. Now about whether or not if they go undefeated, they get in the playoff, I don't know. I asked Bill Hancock about that exclusively. I said, listen, if they go undefeated and based on what they did last year, do you think that would impress the voters' minds? And he said, you know, we don't look at the previous year. The committee does not look at that, or the past year. We are only looking at the year ahead of us. So if they have a strong showing, he says there's obviously going to be a case, but he's not going to let the waving of the hands by the UCF faithful kind of change what could happen in the playoff mix.
Hey, one last question for Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. So, Matt, you do a great job. You literally do a write-up on every single team as a part of your college football countdown as we lead up into the new season. So I don't want to jump to the end of the line, and if you don't want to give it away, you don't have to. But what are your kind of initial thoughts on the 6 or 8 teams that have the best chance to make it into the college football playoff here in 2018?
Well, you know, I think there's going to be some teams, obviously, that people are going to be aware of that are going to be around there. You know at the top of the leaderboard is always going to be teams like the Alabamas, you know, maybe Clemson's. You know, you look at Ohio State, you know, with what they return. You know, I think to me what's going to be interesting is, you know, the SEC is going to be strong. You know, probably the Big Ten is going to be strong candidates up there. You know, it's going to be the Pac-12. Does the Pac-12 get a team in there finally? Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be Stanford? You know, USC, you know, making a big push. You know, and you look at the Big 12. You know, Oklahoma loses Baker Mayfield. They lose some key pieces. Oklahoma State loses a quarterback. Is there a team in the Big 12 that can be pushed in there? I think if we have the playoff comes down to, you know, we have two teams from the same conference like we did last year, you know, I think there's going to be some of that buzz we talk a little bit about, you know, expanding the playoff, because I think that might get some concern for some people. If, let's say, the SEC were to have two teams again, I think that would definitely be something that people would start talking about. But, yeah, there's always the usual suspects. And then, yeah, I think there's maybe one or two teams that could maybe sneak their way in.
Awesome. Great stuff, as always, from Matt Mershell, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. Man, we've had a lot of fun today talking college football. We're going to keep on doing that as we walk you up to Clemson baseball right after this. The college football talk continues. Mark Childress sitting in for Mark Sturgis here with Diesel. Man, we've had a great day today with Bill Bender from the Sporting News, who got our brains running on all kinds of crazy topics, and that continued over to Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. Good stuff there. We'll be giving way to Clemson baseball here at the bottom of the hour, the pregame show before the first pitch with Pitt, which will be right around the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. You can hear all that right here on ESPN Upstate. So, Diesel, you and I continue to talk during the break. There's just so many different topics and so many different directions that this can go in. And It seems like the solution that everyone wants, except, you know, Matt Mershell talked to the folks on, you know, at the College Football Playoff Committee. He had conversations with them this week, Bill Hancock, the executive director. And they're like, we like it at 4. We're fine with where we are. So everyone else seems to want 8. Because there's so much logic involved with all these topics that we've touched on today on, hey, if everybody gets their shot, if a group of 5 school knew every year that they had a chance to be in that playoff, that's a game changer. It really is.
Yeah. And you know, in a chaotic world, every now and again, there's going to be a situation where the best group of 5 has a lot of warts.
Yeah.
Most of the time, the best G5 is going to be a 1-2 loss team. And generally speaking, those 1 or 2 losses come to the Power 5 that they play that year, or they slip up in conference and lose a game. I'm thinking of Houston.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago when they had the shot. They had a path. All they had, and they were darlings. Everybody loved them. Everybody wanted them. And they lost to Louisville that year.
Lost a couple games. And I think maybe beat them or something. Yeah, yeah. They lost a couple of games.
Towards the end of the season, they just fell apart.
Yep.
I think if you have a clear path, it calms down the realignment. And I get it. Power 5 fans and ADs and coaches and muckety-mucks and decision-makers, they could care less that a G5 really, really wants into a Power 5 conference. They don't care. You know, if Troy goes on a 5-year run where they're just monsters and they're just railing people, do you really think Alabama fans are going to really care anymore about Troy? No.
They don't. Probably right.
They don't. But if you give them a path and say, guess what? If you're the best ones in, if you're the best G5, you get in. And I say, hey, you got to be ranked in the top 20. You know, have some sort of cutoff.
Yeah.
You can't have and I'm going in an extreme direction here, an 8-4 G5 getting into the playoff.
No, that's not good for anybody. So, hey, we still got a couple minutes before we give way to Clemson baseball. If you want to get in and chat about this, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. So let's take the next at least logical step in my brain, Diesel. So how many teams, and this is what we talked to Bill Bender about. He ranked 8 teams that are potential contenders for a national championship, and he threw an additional 14 teams in there that he felt like could make the playoffs. And it's all the usual suspects, and you can find his article on sportingnews.com and go and read it. But at the end of the day, are there more than 25 teams in the Power 5 that could legitimately make the playoffs this year? Because you could very easily argue that there's not. And we're talking about how to get a group of 5 team in when 2/3 of the teams that are competing in the Power Five conferences legitimately probably do not have a chance to get into the playoffs this year. Now, they can play their way in, but they don't have the talent to do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Vanderbilt and all of a sudden you step up and go undefeated in the regular season, it's hard to keep you out, but it's not unheard of. And people will still say, oh, it's Vanderbilt, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went 12-0 this year, but it's Vanderbilt. They don't have that prestige. See, you got to, as much as the playoff likes to say, oh, we just look at the wins and losses this season, they don't. They care about the prestige as well.
Yeah.
They want the good names in there because the names equal ratings.
That's why Clemson peaking at the time they did is so important for them. Let's go to the phones. We've got Steven on board who wants to talk about the playoffs. Steven, what's on your mind?
Couple of things. I guess one of the things that constantly gets looked at when these people talk about realignment is they're totally focused on football. And if you look at just take the ACC, you've now got teams in Florida having to travel up to New York. And that works fine on a weekend for a team that plays one sport a week. But you have so many other sports that now you're requiring basketball and baseball to pull these kids out of classes to make these midweek travels. And I think a lot of people lose focus on that is they're only looking at football. And these other sports have to now compete in these conferences and make these lengthy road trips during the middle of the week. And for me, the simplest solution, and I know it's not, there's some good and bad with it, is just go to a 16-team playoff. You have 15 games that matter, and do away with all these bowl games that these bowls end up searching for 2 6-6 teams to play yep. in front of a half-full stadium.
Yep. Hey, Steven,
just
thanks for
16 teams.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, hey, we're talking 18 playoffs, Steven. I mean, they do this at FCS, right? You've got a 16-team playoff. The FCS level, I think it's now it's expanded to 20 now.
To play
so
devil's
Steven
advocate,
wants 16
here.
Teams, and I'm fine with that. Bigger is better.
And I did have a caller that I accidentally just dropped. Please call back in. Yep. But to play devil's advocate here, you know, if we're talking about relegation, to argue your point here, that may force common sense geographic realignment. If you say southeast pockets, northeast pocket, Midwest pocket.
Yeah, but what he was saying is, and it's a good point, it's happening right now as we speak. Clemson baseball is playing in Pittsburgh today. South Carolina baseball is playing in College Station. These are schools that have been recently added into the conferences that are causing that long travel, Diesel. So if Clemson's got to go to Pitt today, how much farther is somebody going to have to go if you relegate someone down, bring them back up, however that all works? Hey, we've got Kenneth on the phones. Kenneth, what's on your mind?
I think that if you get the teams that like App State, teams that have showed themselves, they could play with any powerhouse Power Five team, I think. And another thing is, if you have a expanded playoffs, that's something that you can sell to your recruits too. That's an advantage for the Power Five teams. They say we can go to the playoffs. We can go to the SEC championship game, where Appalachian State recruits they're not sold at though. So it's an advantage if you expand that playoffs for other people.
No, you're right, Kenneth, and thanks for the call. And if you went to that 18 playoff, everybody technically at that point would have their shot. Everyone could start the beginning of the season and say, if we run the table here, we can play for the College Football National Championship. And that's something that I like and I want. So you could do something complicated like an 18 playoff, but I'm suggesting this wild relegation scheme that pays off over the course of 10 years.
And I'll tell you this, because this has happened to App State. We had one of the highest touted quarterback recruits we'd ever had. He was a high, I think he was a low 4-star, and he had verbally committed. And then at the last minute, Iowa State throws him an offer. He had been committed for months. This is where I'm going, 100%. Not going anywhere else. Iowa State throws him an offer, and he goes, oh, yeah, I want to go play at a P5. Because at a P5, I have a chance to do something. That may sort of calm that down. Now you can say, hey, you come here. You stay committed, we have a chance to get into the playoff because of you.
In some ways, you almost, I mean, if a group of five team is going to get in every year, in some ways it might be easier to get there as a group of five team than it would be as a Power Five team. depending on who you schedule. You've just got to get through the group of five, and you're setting up your schedules 5-6 years in advance, right? So you've got to hope that the big teams that you selected in that year that you're really good are not good. Because if you're the number one Power 5 team, you're in. So you'd much rather play North Carolina and Vanderbilt in the year that you're making your big run than, oh, yeah, whoops, we scheduled Alabama and Oklahoma this year where you're probably going to get trucked. So a million different ways you can. This is why we love college football, even in the offseason, man. We could talk this stuff a thousand ways.
I see what you're saying. Six in one hand, half dozen in the other. What is the committee looking at? Are they looking at wins? Or are they looking at how you play? Because we all know that they say that they're just looking at wins.
Yep.
But really, they're looking at how you play. I mean, we've seen where, you know, an SEC team will get a whole lot of credit for going undefeated, but they didn't play anybody in the offseason.
Right.
They didn't play anybody out of conference. Alabama, outside of the last couple years where they've stepped up and played some really big teams out of conference, they usually don't play anybody that good out of conference early in the season. So that says, all they care about is that you win games. You went 12-0? Cool. You're in. Doesn't matter who you played.
Right.
But if you're a two-loss Oklahoma State, and you lost to teams that are better than you. You lost to an Alabama, and you lost to Michigan that year because you scheduled up and you lost. They value the win over the crappy team more than they value the loss to somebody good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, we'll pick this up next time we're together, Diesel, because there's a lot of different ways we can continue to go with this. But for now, that's going to be it for today's show. We're giving way to Clemson baseball taking on Pitt. Pre-game show starting in just a second. Have a great one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.